stop saying hey guys, hey guys. I'm starting to sound like Bobrisky or like a YouTuber. Hey guys, hey guys. Yeah, I'll look for something new, like another thing to be selling, another intro. And anyways, guys, every day we're talking about adults.
You can say hi guys, it's me again.
So guys, I guess I decided to cut in. So that's Atre. I'm sure you guys recognize her voice. Period.
Sorry, I forgot you haven't introduced me yet.
Please, it's Atre. Feel free to cut me anytime, babe. And what will I become to tell the menzymes? Oh, I forgot. I was coming to that every time we're talking about adults. Why are we forgetting our childing? Why, guys? Our childing too is important because our childing has sort of, you know, shaped us to get to where we are. Interesting facts. Talking about childing is actually not easy, guys, because this is the second time we are recording. That is how serious childing is. That every day we'll be doing adulting. The adults, you've already entered. Don't come and tell me childing.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, don't come and tell me childing things in the past. It's a beautiful past, so we want to remember it. Period.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The last week when Miss Nat took over the podcast for a split second, I kind of enjoyed it. So today I'm allowing Atreus to take over. A girl needs a break, guys. So today Atreus will be staring at first over here, and we'll talk about childhood in general, how like Ghanaian children we've been living and all that. So Atreus, take us away.
Okay. Hi guys. Okay, my name is Benedicta Achere, so you can call me any of them. So today we'll be talking about our childhood and topics surrounding our childhood, our fun memories, our not so exciting memories. We'll talk about what we would do differently when it's our turn to be parents. We'll talk about things that we feel hindered certain opportunities that we could get or we were supposed to get. We'll talk about everything mainly, from school, from extracurricular activities, to even punishment and everything, basically. So now, since I'm going to be the one leading this podcast today, I haven't done that before. So forgive me if there are some errors.
Yes, so today you guys will see whether it's easy or not. Period.
Okay. So, let me start with a little bit about mine. I think my whole childhood was around St. Paul's Lutheran School and family and church, basically. Sunday school.
It's about, and your neighbors. Me, I didn't have neighbors, but this country, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I had neighbors. Yeah, and my neighbors.
I knew. Ghana, I didn't have some.
Personally, I feel like, so in St. Paul's, I started in class one and finished in JHS 3. I think I had the same group of friends from class one to class six, and then we were put in different classes in JHS and we had to make new friend groups again. But I think there's one thing about me, which is when I find love in one person or when I find friendship in one person, I find it really hard to let go. So even when I'm not in the same circle, I didn't get that.
You don't like change. You're a conservative person. Same as me.
No,
in terms of that, like just in terms of friendships, I'm like that.
I think so. I think so. So I'll chase you. I don't care. Normally in friendship, I think I'm more of a man in my friendships.
Understand you?
I would hunt you down. I don't.
Yeah, like. Even if you want to go, I don't want you to go. Come back.
I would rather apologize to a friend for the friendship to work than even apologize to a love interest, really. Yeah. I find it really easy to apologize to my friends that I really love. I don't find it hard at all. And that's why I say I'm like the man in my relationship, in my friendships. I think St. Paul's was a really fun time. Personally, I think it was the best time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had no worries.
Wow. You know
you don't have adult problems.
Yeah, you know those memes where the child is watching TV with holding the remote and they frown and they are like, you don't pay electricity bill, but the remote is for you. Period.
You see, that's childhood in summary. Yeah, unless I really think about it a lot about how you don't know you are in the good. So okay, I watched, there's a series called The Office, right? And getting to the end of it, and one of the characters, Andy Bernard, he says something. He was like, he wishes somebody could tell him when they are in the good days, so that they would know when they are in the good days and wouldn't only realize it when it's over. And it's one of the few things that I think about a lot whenever I think about like my childhood. I love being in school.
But then this goes to say we should always learn to live in the moment. Something I'm trying to learn to do now. So like we should all, guys, men, times, learn to be in the moment, because you don't know, that might be the best moment. And if you are not in this, you might just lose it.
That's true.
Lost lots of good moments because I'm always thinking in my head.
You're always overthinking and assuming.
Oh, today is no bra day. So as we are freeing the tits, we free the mind as well. Period.
Oh goodness. So like I was saying, I loved everything about it. I had the same circle of friends from class one all the way. Things that used to happen then was like small gossip.
Yeah.
Like really unnecessarily tiny.
Yeah.
And those were the only things that were our worries. But apart from that, life was good. And I always
is. I'm not talking to this, so don't talk to this. Those nonsense.
You see, and we used to do this thing where we used to meet for Ghanaian language classes. So like twice a week or once a week, I think it used to be A, B, and C classes. Then we all separate into two classes, one for Ghan, one for Tree. And I remember when we come to the Ghan class, I had my group of friends from my class. I was in a B. That was me, Gloria Huledi, Hefzebah, and we used to meet, like we used to sit together in that Ghana class, and then there was another group of people.
Now is the way you're mentioning the names for me, as if we know them.
I know, right? Actually, I'll send this podcast to them for them to listen.
Period.
The Vanessa. How can I forget Vanessa's surname?
Let's forget their names.
And Audrey. And we used to have this like, I don't want to call it jealousy, but it was like a competitive behavior because we all wanted to be like the best girl students.
It's not easy for the girl bad bitches.
It's not easy at all. But I loved St. Paul's. I loved it over there. It was really, really exciting. I think it was in St. Paul's that I think I was my best self at that time. Yeah. I wish God would one day just put the same feelings I had, the same excitement I had for life from them back right as I am right now. Like I'll be so grateful if that should ever happen, because I was very, very, very pleased with everything at that point in my life.
I feel like if you're conscious about it, you can get to that point of excitement again.
My adulthood would not even allow you to get to half of that point of excitement. You think about those exciting things, and the next thing you think about is you have to buy
bills. You have to do this. Absolutely.
You have to buy food. It's crazy.
But you can find the balance actually. I think
people have changed as well. So even if you have the same circle of people around you now, it's still not gonna be the same because you've all grown up. You've grown up in different parts.
True.
And you've all evolved.
That's on period. We are human beings, we need to evolve, so that's okay. So just find the people that fit your new mojo and move with them, period.
Exactly. And also, like, so Miss, I wanted to ask you, so this is a little bit of on a more serious note. Mm-hmm. When you were in school, do you think the classes you took, especially in your final years of GSS, do you think those classes affected your choices in SS and even now? Do you think things would have been different if they were at, there's something I'm trying to get to, but I want your opinion on this first. Do you think your classes back in GSS influenced your choice in courses in SS and uni?
Absolutely not. When I was in junior high, there was, I don't know, BDT, Basic Design and Technology. So there was tech, cooking, home economics, and then the visual arts. And
yes.
Everybody, me, I wanted to do pre-tech because all the boys were in pre-tech and all the boys
I actually did pre-tech. We were like only six girls in that class.
Yes, and me, I ended up pre-tech. I got knows that I solely chose pre-tech because I wanted a fun class. And 90% of the men were in that class. And they were my friends and they liked fooling.
They were the fun ones.
Yes, they liked fooling. So I knew that that class would be joined. And the teacher was boring. So I knew that this is the class for me because I was interested in I don't want to go and wash dishes. And I can't draw. I actually had a passion to join visual arts, but I knew I couldn't draw. And I also knew that I didn't want to go and cook and be washing dishes and I'll come home and come and do it.
And pre-tech was so straightforward.
Period. I don't know. I'll come home and wash dishes and cook and things. When I go to school, so I should go and cook. No. So
pre-tech was the best. So anybody who didn't like pre-tech back then, that means you were bad vibes.
Yes, absolutely.
Or you like food too much.
Yes, I think it was the foodies or the lazy people because Peter would be like, then they'll take us to the shed. Then we'll be sawing wood. Then, I like food.
You'll be drawing perspective. And autographic.
Absolutely.
Hey, wait, am I right? Is it autographic? Yes, autographic.
Then you do say from the eye view of the Indian drawing.
Yes, that's perspective.
Yeah,
and I love this so much. I'm not surprised that I'm doing what I'm doing because I really used to love drawing stuff of a pre-tech.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think because I just knew I'll do general arts too because, who must help? My reading, I don't think anything affected it. I just knew that I was going to do general arts. I didn't want to do French, but Holy Child said French is compulsory for general arts, so well. Necessary evil, but
that's true. We all did French,
but I don't think anything. There was nothing major to
influence. Okay, for me, I have this issue with our education system, especially in GSS. Mm-hmm. And my reason for it is this: I know I wasn't the only person that had that experience, but a lot of other people did, and I'm sure people listening to me would probably align with it as well. I feel like with the kind of decision we have to make as GSS students, we are probably 13, 14, was a little bit too much for us in terms of our future. Because if look at it in this way. Mm-hmm. When you are 13, you are being asked to choose a course for senior high. Mm-hmm. And that course you are going to do determines... It sort of determines what you end up doing in university as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is to say, imagine you are a student who is probably an average student, but you want to be a doctor. You want to do something in the medical field. Mm-hmm. And at 13 years old, you have people telling you, or even your own, you're telling yourself that you don't think you're good enough to get an opening into Holy Child School. You don't think you're good enough to get an admission to Westie Girls. You don't think you're good enough to get an admission to Botre or Gasco or something. So because of that, you are going to choose a course that is a little bit easy. Well, not a little bit, but a course that people think it's easier to get into the school with.
Mm-hmm.
So probably as a higher than average student, because you're applying to a school like Westie Girls, you are thinking, which is very, very logical for you to think, because so many people apply to Westie Girls and only a few end up being there. Same with Holy Child, same with Roses, same with Ebri, same with all the, in quotes, the top schools in Ghana.
Are called, but few are chosen, period.
Exactly my point. So you also want to do everything just so that you are able to say that I went to this school.
Mm-hmm.
So you realize that a more than average student ends up choosing a course like, let's say, general arts or visual arts, but meanwhile they have that idea that they want to be doctors in the future. And most people in these junior high schools do not get enough career education, career advice and stuff like that, which I think is very important, and it should start being implemented in our junior high schools, because kids at 13, 14 are being asked to make life-changing decisions at that point in their lives. Imagine you are 13 years old and you've made this mistake and you ended up choosing general arts just because you wanted to be known as you went to West Eagles or you went to St. Louis. And then now you've entered a school and you've realized that you are stuck with this course for the rest of your life and general arts will not give you admission to any medical school in the country.
Yeah,
unless you travel.
So with what you are saying, I had a couple of friends from my junior high school entering Holy Child wanted to do general arts, one wanted to do science, but they were both in the business class. Mm-hmm. One wrote letters and wrote to the headmistress. So they finally changed for her to go and do the science. But one couldn't change to her general arts. So she had to stay in business. My issue with the educational system is that it is not practical enough.
Yes.
Like, we don't have a lot of variety to say, because I don't think at 13 it's such a big deal for you to be choosing.
Yes, and I don't think a 13 year old should be given the mandate to make such a life influencing decision like that at that point.
No, do you know, for me I feel like at 13 you can put your life in some sort of perspective, but the thing is, we are not given enough tools for us to be able to put our life in that perspective at that age. I feel like that is the core of the issue.
And at 13 we have raging hormones. Our mind is divided into 4,000 things. We are thinking about boys, thinking about looking good, being really really conscious of our bodies changing, being conscious of new acne coming up on our face. We have so many things. Personally, I feel like it's fine if this is what it's going to be, but then we need the opportunity to get career advice back.
Yes.
Then,
so
at least somebody should be able to tell you that I know when you see therapists and like career therapists and those people, they give you quizzes to see what your interest lies in.
Yeah, but why I am disagreeing with you is that people still like get to the university level and stuff, like maybe outside in the liberal universities in like the states and stuff, where they can keep changing their courses. They are still at the college level, university level, and they still cannot even make a standing decision. So for me, a part of it boils down to like personality. That's one. But also the main issue with the educational system has an issue, and that issue is that it doesn't open us wide enough to say that it's giving us that mandates, like you are saying. So I understand where you're coming from, because it's like from creche or whatever to senior high school, we've just been doing maths, English, science, African language. Mm-hmm. Then I have to tell me that science and maths, then I come tell me that. So because when in school I'm doing well in science, so I'll say, oh, I can go and do science, whilst my interest might not actually be in science. But like,
there's nothing practical. Yes, yeah, like so we need to have like career counseling people in our GSS, especially when you get to the final year where you are the BC.
Absolutely.
Somebody because has to talk to the kids to bring out what they are interested in.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people they go to the senior high schools with those childhood dreams, like I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer.
Meanwhile, they haven't had any professional insights into it to see if it's actually something that they want to do.
The way our educational system is, even at that time, a lot of people don't know a lot of job opportunities, because there were so many people who were good with pre-tech and their hands and stuff, but they felt like if they go to technical schools and stuff, it's an indictment on who they are.
Do you see what I mean by like ending up in Holy Child School doing a course that you don't really want because you just want to be in Holy Child School?
So the flaw in the system. The flaw in the system is not giving us that mandate. So the flaw in the system is not opening us up enough for all the things that could be possible. So I guess now we are on the same page on that.
I really, and I personally feel like even when you get to SHS, I think maybe in the first year or something, maybe everybody can do the same thing.
Yeah, like bits and pieces of everything.
Yeah, so that when you are moving on, you're just like uni. You are in Legon, you get a chance to do 3 courses, and then when you're moving on, you can decide to drop 2 and keep 1 or keep 2. You know, at least you can make decisions that can
make a difference.
Yeah, else we'll have so many people who will finish uni and be at home and not be interested in what they're doing at all. Yeah, only because that was a career path they found themselves in, and it was difficult to
people deviate. People earning big money, like very big money, and they want to quit their job because they are not happy.
It happens. It's a true thing.
Yeah, this is the kind of system we are living in, actually. But the flaw is that they are not opening us up enough. They are not telling us all the possibilities. At that age, all you know is doctor, lawyer, teacher, you know, and they are already looking down on teacher and things. So it's like options are limited, but the options
This is just, by the way, I actually wanted to be a teacher.
Wow.
I actually wanted to be a teacher. I love teaching. I love having kids.
Oh, shit. I have the patience. I'm going to be
I wanted to be a teacher, really.
Yeah, I'll beat somebody's child.
I can't.
I'm teaching you 1+1. I've told you so. I'll come and ask, then you tell me it's 4. I'll beat
it's
you.
Four. It happens all the time. That's the thing. It was one thing that I really wanted to do. I know it's not too late. I know one day God is going to open ways and I'll get a chance to experience those things as well. I remember when I was in uni, I was looking for opportunities to teach in schools. But most people already teach. They only hire qualified people,
yeah,
to teach. So
the only people that I've actually dreamt of teaching before, but the only people that I've dreamt of teaching are babies. So the class with them, and then I'll be playing with them, and we'll have nap time. And I've actually loved doing that. My friend's mom has a school, and I've thought of asking her, like, where she teaches, like, babies, and from creche to maybe 5 or something. Because it's at least I know that there's no way they're going to get the answer correct, so there's no way I'm going to get angry. But this old grown ass woman who is 12 or 13, I've told you 1+1 is 2, and you keep telling me 4. Oh my god, I'm going to beat you.
Because I feel like there are certain things that I wish I had teachers back then that were like open to hearing from me as a child.
I had a teacher who used to insult us, Kwasi. Then when he's teaching, he was like, you remember what he did and turn again and say, Kwasi, once again. Mr. Watts, he was our math teacher. And he was insulting Kwasi. Then he'll be writing or something, and then it's like you remember to bash him again, and you turn again and say,
you know, some people also bring their frustrations from home to the school.
Yes, that man, he used to say, you're a fool to me. And if he tells you, he teaches you sign, he doesn't want to insult you, you say, you don't have passion for detail, you just don't have passion for detail.
So, yeah, like we were saying, oh, right. I wanted to ask something else. Something as well. We had clubs and societies, right? I don't know if your school had that as well, but did you have clubs?
We did. We did. I was in Girl Guide.
Me too. But I left Girl Guide and joined Cadet at a point.
Let me tell you, put the truth there. At a point, I left Girl Guide to go and join some new club. Something ladies. Because every Thursday, our capital societies was on Thursday. We cook fruit salad. Not like this weekend, but it was once in a while. But this woman, it was my class teacher who started that club. It was called something ladies. And when we had some boats, we would do something ladies. Then hey, every week we are cooking salad. this. So we all left and went there. Then there was a time that I also joined tennis club. And what again? And then there was a time where I joined taekwondo. I joined taekwondo because they used to wear mufti. That's why I joined. Wear your house dress. You wear your house dress, and it was on the field. So that's why I joined taekwondo. There was a time where I was women's club. We don't do anywhere. We just be roaming from club to club, looking at what they are doing.
But I was in Anansi Guide.
Yeah, that brownies.
The brownies. I was an Anansi Guide, and then from Anansi Guide, I went into Girl Guide.
Yeah.
And then I remember there was one time my school was opening a new branch in Tema, Trinity Lutheran School, and cadets was going to perform, but the cadets were quite small in number, so they needed more people. And Girl Guide, we're already marching and stuff. It wasn't like proper cadet marching, but we had experience in marching. So they announced at assembly that if you are in Girl Guide and you like to join cadet to practice for their event, you can sign up. And I signed up because there was some guy that I liked who was in Cardiff. Hey. If you know me, you probably know who I'm speaking of.
I think I know. I know. Now I know.
He was in Cadet at the point. I'm like, now we can be in the same club together.
Look at these children. When I was there, seriously thinking of who to fight next. People were thinking
about boys. So when I went home, I called him over the phone and I'm like, I want to sign. I was like, yeah, no problem. I thought he would be uncomfortable with it, but he seemed more excited than I was. I'm like, yes, finally. And then I signed up and I started joining them for rehearsals. I stopped going for girl guides meetings. And then when we finally finished with the event, the man was like, the cadet instructor was like, he would like it if I stay. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll stay. And so I stayed in cadets till we finished GSS.
Immediately, I jumped in. And I remember sitting my girl guides to go and match. Then they said, right.
I remember when I came to Holy Child, I even joined cadets in Holy Child. Oh, but really? I was there for like a month because I think it was one visiting when my dad came and my dad was like, I look too dark. Why? And I'm like,
yeah, the cadets.
The cadets. And he was like, I should stop. And
yeah, not I just stopped. We tried to get my little sister to stop cadets from Form 1 to DNA. She never stopped. She ended us as ICU again.
She really enjoyed it. I was enjoying it too, but my dad was like, I look very different, so I need to put a stop to it.
What did you think of my sister? You look different, hey. It's affecting yourself. Oh, forgetting cadets.
I loved cadets. I'm not gonna lie, cadets was really, really, really fun. I enjoyed it, and even Holy Child.
For the comfort. Now I'm going to stand and be shouting at me in the sun. Please, please, please. I remember one time in junior high, we said we'll join cadets, me and my friends. Why we didn't join is because we heard that the cadets man, he can slap you and shout at you. I'm like, please, please.
Oh, he used to, well, the cadet guy in our school used to slap the guys, but not the girls.
Once we heard he can slap you, dear, we didn't care who he was slapping. It just wasn't going to be us. Period.
Oh, but I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed primary school. I really enjoyed it. It was one of the few times that it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, it's innocent.
Do you know I enjoyed primary school so much that I didn't want to miss school even when I was sick.
You see the point?
Because if I'm sick and they play a game and I come and I tell them to repeat the game is never nice.
It's not the same anymore.
Yes, so now I don't want them to. I don't want to miss. So I'll see other games. I'll be there and play some. Oh my god!
Because you go to school, and then you.
It was fun.
All I can say is it was really, really fun, and so as we are growing now, right? We have very soon. Well, not we all, but very soon, most of us will start stepping into the role of parenthood. What would you like to do differently for your child? What would you like to do differently? This is about raising the child, like disciplining your child. What do you feel like your parents would have done with you whilst they were raising you? And what do you think you would do for your kids?
I feel like I had a pretty balanced life growing up. Mm-hmm. Like I had the disciplinarian and then the one who would in Holy Child the rats, they say when the rats are biting those people's feet, the rats will bite then to blow it will bite.
Yes.
Period. I feel like that's how I grew up with like one person biting and one person blowing, so it was like pretty much a balance.
That's
and I like
best.
My kids yes and I like my kids to have that balance, so there's nothing much I'll really change. Maybe what I'll change is I don't know if I'll be able to hit my child, but we'll see, because sometimes the tempest can rise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I don't think there's much I want to change, because my parents did a lot. They did the most. They did the best. You know, the balance was everything. The fact that at least if something happened, there was always, I knew that there was always somebody I could go to. And also there was somebody who was correcting me as well. And there was somebody who was making sure that if I did something bad, I could still come and say, oh, I've done it. I remember some time I misplaced my little sister's studies fees, because they gave me my studies fees and her studies fees together, and my school is really big, so where my classes and where her classes is really, really far. So mm-hmm. I paid mine and kept her own in my bag for like 2 days, and finally someone finally the money and came to steal it.
Oh.
And I was scared as hell, God. Because when I come to tell my parents that I'm going to be...
I'm going to explain this.
And I think it was expensive, so I don't remember the amount. But yeah, so I came home and I told my dad that, hey, daddy, you have to... And I have to pay too, but there's no way I'm going to get that money on my own. So I told my father that, daddy, this is a yawa. I'm going to misplace Iramne's study's fees. So right now, you have to give me another money. But don't tell mommy.
Mommies are the dangerous ones.
Yes, I said don't tell mommy, and he said okay, give me another money, and I went to pay. So now we finished the semester. This was the middle of the term. We finished the term and everything. School has vacated. We've done the vacation, long vac, everything. Now we are reopening again, and they were giving me money to go and paste this thing. My mother was like, "This one to go and misplace it." Hey, so you this man, don't tell mommy.
They don't keep secrets. I think it's one thing that as children we didn't realize it.
Don't tell.
But they actually do not hide anything from each other. So,
don't tell mommy. You've gone to tell mommy. You've told her not to tell you. But this man, she cannot keep it with the debt. She will say it one day. So she just waited for a new term to begin when they were giving us new money. She just warned me, and now we are largely hey. You know, and all that. But imagine if both of them were like a guy or something. Mm-hmm. As I get that money, then that's how bad things will come into your head. Should I go and ask some boy? Should I go and ask my teacher? This, and they also come and start lacking you and telling you all these lies and things before they give you the money and all that. So you see, when there's balance and you can talk to your parents. Me, I have a very close relationship with both my parents. I can tell them anything on my heart, whatever it is, no matter how bad it is or whatever. So I don't know. I hardly rely on other people. Like, I don't know. I hardly have any vices because, like, which bad friend am I going to tell to come and give me the mm-hmm. bad? Yes, and I feel like sometimes it's not somebody's fault that they'll go and talk to a friend.
No.
And, yes, and sometimes it's not a friend's fault that they'll give bad advice. Sometimes it just happens so that this is the friend's experiences, and this is how they are growing up, and this is the kind of lifestyle they are living. So that's the only thing they can tell you, because that is what they know.
Exactly.
So it lies on the parent to make sure that, oh, my child has a balanced life at home. They can talk to me. And it's like my parents also be vigilant enough to see if something is going wrong. Because sometimes I'm sure I will not talk. But if you ask them, they'll open up. But if you cannot even notice that your child is going through something, how do you even ask them a question? So I don't think I'll do anything different. If anything, I'll improve on the things they did. Like, yes. I'll be... Whatever they did, I want to do times two, because my mommy always says you can only be better than us. That's why our parents take us to school and stuff, just so that we can be better than them. Whatever they did, we should be doing times 20.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think for me, the only thing I'm going to do differently, maybe with time as I'm growing up, I'll start to also realize certain things. But one thing that I would do is inculcate a sport or an activity that my kids and I would do together.
Okay, and let me give you an example. So for me, if you say something and I have an experience, I'll just share it with you.
Okay.
So for me, we played tennis with my dad.
Okay.
Yeah, every weekend he plays tennis, so he used to take us to his tennis club, Accra Lawn Tennis, and then we used to play with him. We had our coach in it, so. Like, of course, I also want my children to play tennis. Then, actually, I think I've told you before, I went to St. Paul's Lutheran School to learn how to play the piano. Do you remember?
The music school?
Yeah, your music school. Yeah, your teacher was some dark short man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They changed him later to some tall, fair guy. Such opposites.
I know, right? But, yeah, so, you know, like, my parents wanted me to have that. Like, wanted us to have the sports thing, the piano thing. We used to go for some swimming thing, be, you know.
Yeah. So I think the main reason why I'm saying this is I started playing tennis about 6 months ago, and when I go to the tennis court, I meet a lot of older people who have been playing tennis for years, and you have to talk to them because it's a club. Like, you have to make friends whether they are older than you or not. So in my conversations with one particular old man, he's a retired Air Force commander or something. He was telling me he plays tennis with his daughter every Saturday. Well, I wasn't going on Saturdays. I was going 3 times a week. I was going Monday, Thursdays, and Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And he says on Saturdays he comes with his daughter because when she was a child, he started bringing her to the tennis court, just like your dad used to take you guys.
Yeah.
So it's an activity that he and his daughter do, and it's private to them. So he enjoys it because he says he wonders that. So if he wasn't playing tennis with his daughter, when would they get time for each other? Like, when would they get time to catch up? Because she's married now with her own family.
Yeah.
But because of the love they both have for the game of tennis, they make sure that every Saturday they meet to play. Yeah. And it's one thing that he's really happy he did, because even as old as he's past, what you mean? He was like, he's 71 and he doesn't look like he looks like an old man, but he's active for a 71-year-old.
Absolutely.
And to think he plays with his daughter every time, like, what a nice thing to actually do.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, your daughter isn't forced to hang out with you.
Yeah.
She's doing it out of the love you both share for a particular game.
Guys, now I want to tell you guys something. So last two weekends, my dad gave me a new tennis racket. I just want to see you guys know, yeah.
Because I actually need to buy a new tennis racket. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, because I want to start playing again. So it's something that we can bond over and all that. But I understand exactly where you're coming from. I understand.
So that at least you have something you can do as a family together.
Yeah.
And have something Funny enough, the day the man spoke to me about this, I really thought of it for a long time. You know, when you start going, you start thinking about certain things that you regularly wouldn't even think about.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. There I was sitting thinking about a future family, like making plans for a future family, which is very, very funny.
Now, not to cut you short, Miss Ajwa has decided to join us.
Oh, finally.
Hello, Ajwa.
Hello.
Ajwa, welcome. Actually, and I have been having a very interesting conversation. So right now we are talking about what we would have done differently if we were when we become parents, what we'll do differently. So Atreya is telling us that she would incorporate sports into like her kids' life so that she can bond with them over sports or something. So that's So be thinking about yours, because we'll come and ask you.
That's sweet. Nice meeting you, Atreya.
Hi.
Hey.
Nice meeting you too.
Okay. Oh. Now, Atreya, please continue.
Aha. So like I was saying, so I think it's something that your dad played tennis, so it's something that he involved you in. My dad, yeah. I don't think my dad did any sports except for football. And I'm sure my dad never thought I was interested in football. Well, I'm actually a very, very, very avid football follower. I really love football, but I can't play for nothing because I've never tried it. I think the only time I've hit a soccer ball is when it's somewhere and I just play with it. Or maybe you are passing by and people play it to you and you have to play it back to them.
I used to be the goalkeeper at P.
Oh, that reminds me. I learned to play volleyball when I was in St. Paul's, and we were supposed to go for like a sports event. That thing never happened, but we used to train for it like 3 times a week. So I learned to play volleyball. I loved it as well, but I never took it anywhere. Funny enough, I'm now trying to pick up a new sport. I like tennis a lot. Let me tell you one joke. So whenever I go to the tennis court and I'm chatting with the other tennis players, they always ask me about like popular tennis players and who I like the most. And I'm not interested in any of those things. I just like the game, really.
Absolutely. Same here. I'm a corporate. Like, I like to play tennis. But yeah, I don't care about
anybody else apart from Serena Williams.
It's not like I care about her. She's very popular, as I hear her.
Exactly.
My dad, if you see my dad on YouTube, he's just watching tennis. If they are doing those, their tournaments, he's following.
I think it's a different kind of love. Maybe I haven't gotten there yet.
I know if you like, we are doing this to be bougie. They are doing it because they actually love, because I don't understand. Hey.
I personally liked it. I think that my favorite part of tennis is screaming.
Yes. Ah. Anybody who knows me knows I love screaming, period.
I think that's my favorite part. But yes, it's one thing that I would make sure that I put in the lives of my kids in the future. Yeah. So that would have, it doesn't have to be tennis. It just has to be, it could be golf, it could be volleyball, it anything at all. Just, but you need to know what your kids like as well.
Absolutely.
So you have to introduce them to about 2 to 3.
I feel like I like tennis because growing up, like, I was introduced to it and it was fun for me. So, you know, sometimes when you introduce them to things at a younger age, they just start to laugh because everybody laughs. In fact, not everybody, most people love their childhood. That's on parents. Yes. So they just like to keep in touch with things that are like in their childhood. So, baby Ajua, please talk to us. What would you want to do differently? There are some things I want to hear from you. So talk, let's see.
So with me, I'd like to confront, say, creative stuff. Let's draw. Let's make this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She draws so well. Please follow her IG page.
What's her IG?
Ajua, give it to them.
It's Aninua. A-N-I-N. W and then the A's at the end are 7.
Wow.
Oh, of course. My name means she would give birth to 7 sons. So
wow.
Really?
I can't wait to 7 sons. Me bo bako na ma pinche bako na ma buti bako.
Oh, you know, that reminds, one thing I really like, mm-hmm, is the meaning of names. Like names that have very different, yeah, meanings. I feel like it's so unique.
Yeah,
and it's
the Northerners have that a lot. I admire that.
Exactly. I always love the idea of names that have like a story to it, or it's just nice.
Mm-hmm. Girl called Annabelle, and she told us that her name means beautiful snake, and for the most part, she actually acted like it. Period.
Wait, Annabelle means beautiful snake.
That's what she said. Ajua knows the best. That's why she's laughing.
I'm sorry, but
I never knew that's what the name meant. So you let me Google it, because this has offended me.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Let beautiful me check meaning of Annabelle.
So, in Ajua, did you like your childhood?
Oh, some parts yes, some parts no.
A big part of your childhood, you like it?
Let's see. Right now, if I should sit down and reflect,
mm-hmm,
I can't really say a big part, because when I sat down to think about it, I mean, in your teens, I don't know, adolescence, you see, there's this anger, there's this resentment.
Yes.
But recently, I sat down to think about it and realized that, oh, some parts of it went bad after all. And when my parents explained this is why they did it, I said, okay. But yeah, but there are some parts I still wish, yeah, they could change. But, I mean,
but me as, mm-hmm, a me as a watching person, period. I don't think that there are reasons, like when your parents do something wrong to you, there are reasons to justify how you feel. It shouldn't make you feel better if you don't want to, because they were thinking only about themselves. They were not thinking about how you would feel. They were not putting themselves in your shoes. Like, that's one thing that some parents used to mess up their children's childhood. They don't think about their child. They just think about how they would feel. Like, if the child makes a mistake, how it would make them look. If the child does this, how it would make them look. What the child's future should look like. It's like they want to plan everything for you. So, in actual, they don't want you to live. They want you to live through their eyes.
Yeah.
And that is just wrong, baby. It's just wrong. No parent should do that. And no, when they explain to you, it shouldn't justify what they did. Honestly, I don't think it should justify what they did. They should actually be apologizing, not justifying.
Yeah, I think everybody has, even twins have different personalities sometimes. So you shouldn't. That brings me to the point. I read something on social media sometime that do everything you want to do now so that you don't end up pushing your kids to live through them.
Exactly. I've seen that too. Baby, yeah. Ajua, yes, you get me. Eninu, are you here?
Is she off?
I don't know. She's connected here, so I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I'm still looking for beautiful snake.
I found it. It means beauty.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear now.
Uh-huh.
It means God has favored me.
hey, this girl says that her name is called Annabelle, means beautiful snake. Dien, dien. She's so beautiful and she used to act like a snake. I feel like she felt like that should be the meaning of the name, because I don't understand why she say that.
Because let's think about it. Where is the snake coming from? Is it the Anna or the Belle? Because Belle, we know, is beauty. So what does Anna mean?
We check Annabella, because at a point she said she's called Annabella. So maybe it's Annabella.
Sure Annabella is the same as Annabelle. Annabella is probably the English version of Annabelle. Annabelle sounds French.
Yo, that's what she said.
Yeah, it has a French something to it.
Maybe, or I'll DM her and ask her if she has seen the meaning.
Okay, so Annabelle is a feminine given name of English origin. It's a combination of the Latin name Anna, which comes from the Hebrew word for grace, and the French word belle, meaning beauty. So the name means favored grace.
Yeah. Please, well, the name that she called is means beautiful snake. I'll never forget, because I felt like the name really suited her.
But, Mesima, do you realize that back in school, we used to say the most absurd things, and nobody could verify. Nobody could correct.
Of course.
We just end up believing the funniest of things.
Yeah, you know, it's not part of childhood, though. Like, when you're a child, you want to say something, so you think you are the wisest person saying this.
So, of course.
I have a brother who is in class 5. No, it's not class 5 or class 6. Yeah, class 6. And I think he's smarter than I was back then. Because whenever his friends tell him stories, they say stories a lot. Like, they lie a lot. So whenever his friends tell him stories, he actually calls, when he comes home, he calls me to say, nah, is it true that, like, he space stuff, religious stuff, when things are bothering him, he really likes to ask me. So he'll call me on the phone and he'd ask me, is it true that when the moon does this, it means probably the sun is too, like, those questions.
Yeah. And
sometimes I'm like, where did you even hear this from? Then he's like, Kobe said it. Kobe said it. And I can, whenever he says Kobe said it, I imagine them like sitting together when the teacher is in there in a group. And Kobe is probably like the lead. And he is saying, it's true. I'm telling you guys, it's true. And I have to tell him. And sometimes I'm like, sometimes when I'm telling him the actual truth, I don't let it sound too aggressive, so that when he goes back to school and he's actually explaining to his friends, they wouldn't see him to be I know too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I try to balance it for him, to give him a sort of like a fairy tale response, or to also give him a story that when he also goes back to say, don't find it interesting as well.
Yeah,
but okay. I like the fact that they are able to ask questions, because children are they lie.
It's normal.
They lie so much. And
her name, beautiful snake. What was their point?
What was their point, really? What was their point? You didn't have to lie.
Beautiful, pa. That's what. Oh, you people are just hate.
I remember before so like Miss Ma, you earlier we were having a conversation earlier. We mentioned something about DSTV. So I started hearing about DSTV when I was in class 5. Mm-hmm. That was when I think people in my class started watching like High School Musical.
And Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana and those things. And the way they talk about it, it seemed like an out of earth experience. Like, they used to be very, 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 very exaggerative about the whole thing.
It's just what DSTV was for us, so an out of the world experience. Because I was telling you that, like, I don't know why they were coming to school and talking about it so much. Like,
there was one time I closed from school and my dad was on leave. And when I got home, there were people in the house on the roof. So I'm like, what are they doing? My dad's like, they're fixing cable. I'm like, mini cable. And he's like, DSTV, God. I felt like my legs became spaghetti. Like, finally, I'll know what these people are talking about. That day, my sister and I did not sleep. We sat down the whole night to watch this TV. And when I saw what the actual Hannah Montana and the High School, I was like, this is regular. But when I went back to school, I didn't act like it was regular. I joined the exaggeration team.
Of course. But you guys, you know that this kind of lying thing is not only about, it's not like for only that when we are that young. Look at senior high school. After vacation, when we come, people are lying. I'm just looking at them like, why?
Oh,
I'm like, this is a truth to tell a story. I'm always looking at people like, really?
It's not needed.
But every time that first assembly we have at the assembly hall, I never talk. I'm just amazed at the lies. I'm like, wow. And people actually believe in this totally.
But I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like sometimes you see these vacations and things that they say happen to them, and you know in your heart of hearts, you never experience these things. What sort of pressure are you coming to put on your head?
Those who travel.
I personally say, from my experience, it all boils down to the kind of circle you put yourself in.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you put yourself in circles that emanate your behavior, I don't think these things will even be a bother for you.
I just said everybody's going to Santorini.
Oh, serious? So one of my girlfriends, she went to this GIS,
mm-hmm.
and she's actually very DB. I wouldn't lie about that.
I know,
but for her, vacation means she being at home and relaxing. Mm-hmm. But she says she comes to every after vacation when they come to school, everybody is holding a brand new phone with images of their vacation. Somebody went to Spain, the other will go to wherever, and everybody is making comparison and whose trip was most expensive and something like that. And after every vacation, somebody's having the newest phone model. If it's Samsung, he has a new one. If it's iPhone, a new one. And I asked them, how did you cope in such an environment? Because it's like there's this competition, this pressure. And she wasn't lying. So you see something like we went to government schools. If you come back and you say you went to Basakra, we can't say you are lying because we don't have to. That's the case where
nobody even cares.
That's the thing.
Cares and cares.
Sure, they all come and say just that first assembly, and then period, they are done. Nobody, you just like they can keep up because nobody will ask you backstory later.
This school, you actually bring pictures to show you went there. She said there was one girl who was always getting herself miserable because she didn't really have like that, and she kept trying to prove things. I said, you see? Seriously. Why do you choose stress over peace of mind? Santorini, really? Me, I've not seen some before. Aren't I living comfortably? Nobody's coming to worry me.
But I want to ask you a question. Right now, where are you? Oh, answer us, man. We want to know. Benin, I'm in Ghana. You are you?
I'm in school. Chocoside. That's what.
Okay, guys. Now, actually, mm-hmm. time to have a very short episode. We've passed what we'll pass.
Hey, wait, how long have we been talking? Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. Okay, guys.
We've been in Santorini.
Yeah. So, Adra, I'm sure you really wish you really want your children to draw as well.
Oh, I would love that.
If they can, why not?
Exactly. If they can, too, don't worry. We'll watch anime together.
Okay, so today's word is kubao.
Oh.
And it means a group secretly united in a plot. So you know how when you were a child, you people had gangs and everybody's gang and what they are planning to do the next day.
I've actually fought in a gang before.
Hey.
Yeah. I used to be in this club. My auntie was there was this club formed by white people.
Uh-huh.
And it was something about the name had something stars in it, and we used to meet every Saturday. We learn clay stuff like pottery and those things, and we learn like design stuff, visual stuff, sewing, and exciting things. And I remember in that group there was another group of girls from a different part. I don't know, I think they were from trade fair or something. And it was like a squad, and we had an issue. We had an issue with Play-Doh, something of the sort. So we decided to fight after the club.
The little
pleasures of childhood.
And I remember very well. I don't know what. I don't even know what I was saying to them, but I was standing in the middle and I was pointing at people and saying, we didn't fight like physically, but it was an echoing of words on a compound. And whenever I remember it, I really want to see those girls now. I remember there was one called Blessing.
You always remember.
Yeah, but I don't know where. Oh God. So I wish this thing was on radio so that they would hear and say, hey, I know what you're talking about.
Don't worry, the podcast will grow big enough for them to hear. They'll hear
we
soon.
Can't wait.
Okay. But guys, a group secret united in a plot. So, for example, military police arrested members of the cabal who were planning to overthrow the government's period.
Oh.
Ah, so wait, it's actually a word?
Yeah, it's a word.
I thought it was a name for that group.
No. It's so like what you guys did, you were in a cabal.
Oh, so it's like a cabal leader.
Yeah, so in fact, it's another name for gang, actually, if you think about it.
Can I get a spelling,
please? Cabal, but it is pronounced Kubal. Don't go and disgrace me anyway. Go and say Kabal. It is Kubal.
Kubal.
Yes.
Me, how did it come for or say Yususu?
When I'm looking for the word, you know we know phonetics, so we look at the transcription before we come and pronounce it and go and disgrace ourselves.
Of course.
Period.
This is a son and aroma.
There's all parts of childhood. These are some of the things I learned in. Like in my childhood, and I've not forgotten them. So, like how to read in the dictionary, the phonetics, and those things. So, I guess our childhood actually, you know, build us.
I only started doing that when I did linguistics in Legon. I never cared about what the phonetics of the word is.
Oh,
yes.
We're beating. See, as for us, we had to learn it all. Ask Araba.
I don't lash you. Wood. But
what?
and she was also a comprehension teacher. So we are reading the comprehension essay and you have phonetically. It wasn't easy. Childhood was also not easy, just like adulthood. We were beatings and stuff. Right? Nobody can
hiding under
the stairs. I think it's a good thing because now you guys speak very well.
Yeah, it
probably wouldn't have happened if you didn't have that experience with your teacher. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, honestly. Always making mistakes on the podcast. Well, look, I'm still a human being, Sha.
That's what we don't say oven, it's oven.
Yes.
I told my said oven. Now my mother insulted me. They found getting cream. So
plantain. You know, we always say plantain. It's really planting. So my father said, we should go and fry plantain. I said that it's not planting, it's planting. Look, I said, I'm not the one paying your school fees. It was just planting. What English? Going to learn. It was really making fun of me that whole week. Planting. It was going to be planting, madam.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. You know, I know it's planting, but I never say it in the midst of people because they all look at you like,
Oh, no.
You just pronounce.
Oh, no.
Before you know it all.
Yes, you just pronounce planting and go your way. Why?
But I think with me, one time I actually forgot and actually said planting. So my roommates were actually looking at me like, Adrault, what are you saying? I said,
now we ain't shushing you.
And they said, that's how it's actually pronounced. Yeah, and they said, they've noticed that I don't even say written. And I said, that's TT silent. Yeah.
Written.
By the way, sometimes even when you're speaking, there's something called assimilation. You just, because of the word that follows it, it's definitely going to mess up the initial word you say.
Yeah, okay, guys. Oh. You know what? I just got an idea. We are going to do a whole episode on phonetics because we have a linguistics major here, period. So,
Allah.
Wait, are you talking about me?
Period, though. So, go and revise. So that guys, I've told them already, so they'll be expecting you. So guys, as we are doing word of the day, we'll be speaking good English, period.
I think you should even include mind your language.
Now me, do I mind my language? People are coming to tell them mind their language. Okay, yes. Guys, continue. We'll do 2 hours today. So we are going to call it here. I'm really praying that people are able to listen to the end, because today we've really done the most. We've done the most.
And it was really carefree. It was very random.
That is what childhood is, period.
Oh, okay. I think I'll say this outside the podcast. It's an idea that I have. So,
okay, that's fine.
Let me write it down before I forget.
Okay, guys. Same time next week. You know the vibes. This is the Power with Menzi podcast. They were just showing what childhood is all about. Being carefree and just, you know, going with the flow. We hope that you can incorporate that into your adulthood. And Adjoa, thank you for your last minute show. It was everything. Bye, guys.
Bye.